The world was silent. The sea stopped crashing against the shore. The howling wind was still. Not a leaf rustled. No dog barked. No cricket chirped. God took a deep breath and delivered the Ten Commandments. As God spoke, the people saw thunder. They heard lightning. The mountain trembled with fire and smoke. They heard the voice of God from every direction. It filled the entire world. There was nothing but that voice. Mere months earlier, they had been slaves watching the plagues unfold, and now every fiber of their being was filled with the voice of God. Anochi Adonai Elohecha, I am the Lord your God. Asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beit avadim, that took you out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt. Lo ye'elecha Elohim acherim al panai, there shall be no other gods but me. In that way, Israel heard the Ten Commandments. After this awesome experience, the people Israel sent their leaders to Moses. They sent the leaders saying, "It's too much. When God's voice fills the world, when there's nothing but the presence of God, there's no room for us. Please tell God that we need you. We need a step between. Moses, you talk for us. You talk to God." Moses brought this message to God, and God smiled. God said to Moses, "The people are right." God was smiling because they had passed God's test. You see, 3,000 years ago, on top of Mount Sinai, God offered us perfection. God offered us a perfect world. God offered us a return to the Garden of Eden. God offered us the chance to always know what was right, to at every moment of every day have God's will explicitly known to us in every way. We would have the opportunity to make no wrong choices. When we turned God down, God smiled because we chose humanity. We chose imperfection. We chose free will, free choice. We chose that our achievements, our accomplishments would be our own. We chose an imperfect world. Seven hundred years later, the people had forgotten Sinai, much as we struggle today to remember Sinai. The people then broke not just the Ten Commandments, but all 613. They were a difficult people, and God sent them Isaiah, a prophet, to tell them that if they did not turn away from their terrible ways, doom, destruction, indeed exile would be coming. But Isaiah knew that the people would not listen, and this exile would come. So Isaiah paused from his predictions of doom to give us the words of our Haftarah today. This is Shabbat Nachanu, the first Shabbat of consolation. Last week we had Tisha B'Av and sorrow, and today we have warmth, connection, a return to God. Isaiah tells us it will be good. We will know God. We will be in relationship with God. God is there for us. More than that, the second half of the Haftarah Isaiah gives us how to do it. How can we know God? Isaiah tells us we can never know God's true strength. We can never know what God truly looks like. We can never truly and completely know God. But we can shine away some of the grit of this world in order to let a little bit of God's light shine through. We can get to know God. We have the Word of God. We have Torah. We have prophets. We have writings. We have teachings. We can study them. We have mitzvot. We have actions we can do to get to know God. We have deeds of loving kindness, gemilut chasidim, so that we might know God in bits and pieces. Isaiah was offering the counterpoint to that day on Mount Sinai. On Mount Sinai, we said we can't have a world where God is everywhere. We can't do it. It's too much. We stop existing. Isaiah is teaching us that even though we can't know God completely, we can still know God a little bit. We can have humanity. We can have free will. We can own our achievements. And we can know God. These little bits, these little moments of mitzvot, where we uncover a little bit of God in this world, we put them together, we make a pattern. We get to know God, we ultimately take a leap of faith that these actions all together help lead us to understand God better, help lead us to love God better, help lead us to know God better. Ultimately, God smiled that day 3,000 years ago for an even deeper reason. Yes, that day we got to have our world, we got to get to know God. But God was also giving us a model of how to be human beings. Right now, you might be sitting next to the person in the world you love more than anyone else. You might be sitting near the one that you proudly proclaim knows you better than anyone else. And yet, ultimately, we can't really know each other. There is an inner self, an inner being, an inner thought process that is hidden from the other. There are barriers separating us. There are many idioms and phrases that say things like, oh, if I could walk a mile in their shoes, or spend a day in that person's head. We have these phrases because it's not possible. We can't do it. All we have from each other is our words, our actions, our body language. And we try and add these things up. We try and put them in order. We try and make a pattern. And then we say we know each other. The ultimate proof that we don't completely know each other is that I'll bet that one you love more than anyone else, the one that you know better than anyone else and knows you better than anyone else, I bet they sometimes surprise you. I bet sometimes they do something totally unexpected. And it's because of that we get to grow, we get to learn. Our relationships can strengthen, can be more than what they were. That day, 3,000 years ago, God offered us a world that was our own. God offered us a chance to get to know God. And God offered us a model so that we might work hard, happily, struggle in the best kind of way to build real and deep connections that try to pierce the barriers that separate us. So this Shabbat, as we read these Ten Commandments, as we are comforted on Shabbat Nachamu, I wish each of us a life of happily struggling to connect with God, of happily struggling to connect with each other, and of faith that those connections are true and real. Shabbat Shalom.